Hello and welcome to this podcast from the BBC World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
He would appear in the dark.
Handing, literally handing.
He was a killer.
World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Can we have 30 seconds of your time to ask
you
a question?
Yeah, I don't mind.
It's for the BBC. So, this is the RSPCA label. These are Red Tractor. That's Soil Association. Do you know what any of these labels mean, or have you ever seen any of them?
Not really, no.
Not that I can think of.
I don't look out for them, if I'm being honest.
Welcome to Fed, with me, Chris Van Tulleken, investigating why we eat the food we eat and what that means for our planet and ourselves. I'm out on my local high street in East London, and I'm trying to speak to busy shoppers. I've got a clipboard in my hand with a piece of paper on it. Pretty understandably, most of them are avoiding me.
We're making a show for Radio 4. Can we have 30 seconds of your time?
I'm really late.
Don't worry, don't be late.
But a few people are stopping, and I'm showing them three different logos that you find on fresh chicken that we buy in shops.
Have you ever looked at any of these labels on the packets of chicken that
no,
you buy?
Never.
Absolutely, I eat meat, but I want them to live a good life before I consume them.
I'm deeply sceptical. I mean, the food thing, there's a lot of bullshit in this. Yeah.
It's all part of the machine, isn't
yeah.
it, really? I feel like I do care, but I haven't, like, thought about it like that. You know what would be good, now that I've thought about it? If there was actually a standard where they were like, we're not going to let you put this on the shelf unless it meets a few different criteria, and then we won't have to think about it.
It's a revolutionary idea, but he's not the first to have it. In fact, that's exactly what these three logos that I'm showing people do indicate, a set of standards. But most people seem to have no idea what they mean. Obviously, this street survey of mine is completely unscientific. I'm just bothering random passers-by. But most of them do seem as confused as me about where our food is coming from and how it's produced. And this is weird, because food isn't just something that keeps our engines running. It's the stuff that unites us, it binds us together. Put simply, it's important. And I think it's something that most of us want to care about. But that can be harder than it sounds. I'm trying to understand our complicated relationship with what we eat through the story of a bird that's become the world's most prolific protein. This is Series 1, Planet Chicken. Welcome to Episode 5, Fine Print. I'm going to unpack what we're told about the chicken we buy and whether we can trust that information. But brace yourselves, there are going to be some hard home truths about our food choices. I'm raising my own chickens for meat, four of them, and this is part of my attempt to understand what it takes to put meat on our dinner tables. I've got three different breeds, but even the two fast-growing birds won't be ready for a few more weeks. So in the meantime, like most of us, I'm buying my chicken from the supermarket. And as I'm shopping, I've noticed that, like many of the people I spoke to, I'm making assumptions about how that chicken was produced, without always checking, or let's be honest, understanding, what's on the label. I'm not entirely sure what information we're given about the meat we're buying, or whether we can trust it.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
This is going to keep things simple. It's very nice to see you. Thanks.
Chris Elliott's a professor of food safety at Queen's University Belfast and Thammasat University in Thailand. He's a man who knows a lot about food threats, from illness to fraud. He tells me there's this popular story about the birth of food safety laws that goes back to the death of Zachary Taylor, the decorated 19th century war hero and the 12th president of the United States.
It's a really interesting story, actually, that he probably died from food poisoning. Nobody's quite sure because there was no ability to test at that time. But the likelihood is that he ate unsafe food.
story goes that on a hot, humid 4th of July in 1850, President Taylor joined the Independence Day celebrations around the Washington Monument. The craggy-faced general, nicknamed Old Rough and Ready during his army years, wandered through the crowds enjoying festive refreshments, chilled cherries and iced milk. Now these days, that might ring some alarm bells. A hot day, warm dairy, ice from dirty water, vendors with grubby hands. But food hygiene wasn't really a thing back in the 19th century. By that evening, Zachary Taylor was in bed with severe stomach cramps. The doctors weren't sure what was wrong, but his condition steadily worsened. 5 days later, the president was dead.
Within about 20 years of that, food labelling legislation started to be introduced. But actually, the first food labelling in the world was in the UK. And what drove food labelling in the UK was fraud. There were so many food products that were being adulterated that the government of the time said, we have to do something about this because people are being poisoned. And they introduced the first food labelling about 1870. And then after the introduction of that labelling came the first public analyst laboratories in the world to actually test for the authenticity of food.
So food safety laws are really well established. They've been around for more than a century, countering scams and sloppy work. But what about production standards? That's where things get less clear.
The main information you will get will be what's called country of origin, and that's where the chicken was raised and slaughtered. And you will also perhaps get information about the way that the animal has been raised, whether it's been free range, whether it's organic, some of the different aspects of production that we like as consumers and are willing to pay extra for.
So if there are things we're happy to pay more for, how do we identify them? Well, when it comes to fresh chicken, that's where the logos from earlier come in. Each of them says something about how it was produced. First and by far the most common is the little red tractor logo, which sets out standards for everything from the breed to how it's killed. And that label will specify one of three levels. There's Red Tractor Certified, which is the basic one, and it's just a little bit above the UK's legal requirements. These are fast-growing indoor chickens. Then there's Enhanced Welfare, which is for slightly slower growing birds with more space, more enrichment, but they're still indoors. And finally, there's Free Range, again, slower growing birds, but now with access to the outdoors. Another logo you might spot is RSPCA Assured, which is specifically about welfare and sets out rules around breed, space, enrichment, handling and slaughter for indoor and outdoor systems. And then there's Organic, which again sets standards for the entire chicken raising process. But as I discovered a couple of episodes ago at Daylesford, the chicken feed can't contain antibiotics or be grown using pesticides. And these birds are always free range. And on top of those logos, supermarkets might have their own set of chicken standards as well. But can we trust what we're told on the packaging? Chris Elliott says size matters. If there's a short supply chain, then broadly the answer is yes, we can trust it.
So in the UK, we actually have a relatively small number of poultry companies, but they all tend to be very large. And they're also what are called fully integrated industries.
We've heard about the big three before. Moy Park, Avara Foods and Two Sisters Food Group. These are the companies that control the majority of the UK's chicken farms. And that could sound a bit worrying, but Chris says these integrated systems do have their benefits.
So those companies control the farms, they control the animal feed, they control so many different aspects. So they have really good systems in place of tracking and tracing. And you know, I would say if it says it's produced in the UK and it's free range, it's 99.99% likely that that is the case. As you go further afield outside of the UK, that probability drops quite dramatically. Actually, if it comes in processed foods, the chances are it probably did not come from the UK. And the likelihood is you'll see virtually no information about the source of the chicken in your processed foods.
I'm starting to think that we buy chicken in two quite different ways. There's the fresh stuff, which we get from our supermarkets or butchers, and then there's the chicken that Chris just mentioned, from further afield, which we buy already processed into a sandwich or a pie or a curry. And it strikes me that not only is there a difference in the information that we get about these two types of chicken, there's a difference in how much we care about it. But we'll come back to that. First, I want to understand how trustworthy those logos in the supermarket really are. Chris says they're reliable. But, like most of us, I've seen headlines about trusted farms that supply meat to major supermarkets and are supposed to be getting checked up on, but they then get caught doing something cruel or unsafe. Now, I accept there's a legitimate discussion to be had about whether farming standards are high enough. But whatever you think of the standards, my question is, are they being adhered to?
And if you dip your feet, so you put your feet all the way to the bottom, so the foot's going to go all the way to the floor, and then the fluid will go all the way to the ankle depth, so all the well is disinfected.
Biosecurity.
He's more first defence for the birds, so yeah. He's the most important.
Welcome to a real-life chicken farm inspection. Well, sort of. As close as my producer and I are likely to get turning up with BBC badges and a full-on recording kit.
So, as we do the walk around, I'll need to see, of course, inside the beds,
yeah.
The site itself, where you keep your fallen stock, anywhere where you make your disinfectants.
I want to know if these schemes can be sure that farms are sticking to their standards. And although most of the shoppers I asked hadn't heard of them, Red Tractor is the biggest food assurance scheme in the UK. They have 2,500 poultry farm members, and you find their logo on about 95% of chicken. So I'm hoping they'll be able to answer some of my questions. They've invited me to join them for a demo inspection on a Lincolnshire chicken farm that's owned by Moy Park, one of the big three.
We were going to look around about 4 sheds?
Yeah.
Okay.
What we would want the consumers to understand is when they see the logo, they can be assured that that product is British and has been farmed.
Sophie Elwes is the scheme's poultry technical manager, which means she oversees the chicken standards. Red Tractor monitors the whole chain, meaning it sets standards for everything from the chick hatcheries through to slaughter. As I said earlier, they're a little higher than the legal baseline. But I still don't fully understand why this kind of accreditation is necessary for farmers or consumers if there are already national laws in place around basic chicken production.
We come out to our members every single year, or more frequently where it's necessary. But if you're not a member of a scheme, then there's no guarantee that anyone is coming to check that those standards are being adhered to.
OK, so with Red Tractor, at least you're getting a minimum of one inspection per year.
So all of the audits are carried out by third-party independent experts like Zoe, who you'll hear from today. So she will collect all the objective evidence, and then all of that will go to a certifier reviewer to make sure that it's truly independent and incredibly robust.
With the inspections, are they surprised, or do the farmers know the day that Zoe is, say, going to come?
The vast majority of inspections are announced, and there's a couple of reasons for that, one of which is biosecurity. So Zoe will be going to a number of different farms over the course of a day, so they have to be able to plan that she's not sort of cross-contaminating from one farm to another. That said, we do have an unannounced inspection programme where farmers will have no notice of an auditor turning up.
Ahead of us, I spot the inspector, Zoe Rawson, coming out of a chicken shed, jotting down notes. She works for an independent audit company called NSF. I ask what she's particularly looking out for.
The key thing for me is bird welfare. That is the most important thing on any audit. So I'm here to come and check that the farm is adhering to the welfare standards within the standards, and then that what they are telling me and showing me on farm is corresponding with the paperwork.
Zoe talks me through the ways that farms can fail to live up to standards, from empty foot dips to missing medical records. And I get the impression that most of the time, when farms are in breach of standards, it's not because they're deliberately cutting corners to save money. It's because there's human error. Maybe there's a staff shortage, or the farmer's having a personal problem. Out of 100 farms like this that you inspect, how often do you suggest that someone is suspended from the scheme?
Not very often.
After the walk around, the other thing to check is the farm records.
As you know, it's a sampling process, so I'm going to ask for various different documents to back up what we've just seen on farm, OK? Yeah.
While Zoe's rifling through the paperwork, I persuade Matt, the farm manager, to join me for a cup of tea in the yard. Now, he's been doing this job for over 20 years. He's one of the most committed chicken farmers I've met. In fact, I can't think of the last time I've met anyone this committed to anything that they do.
It's more of a lifestyle than a job or a career. 24 hours a day call, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The welfare of my birds comes first, above everything. So my wife is a chicken widow at times. if the birds require my assistance, then the birds get my assistance first and foremost, above everything else.
Tell me about how in tune shoppers are with this sort of red tractor label. Like, do you have friends who don't work in the poultry industry who don't really get it?
Yeah, I do. I don't think the customer going and buying a chicken in a shop for £5 understands what goes into doing that, the costs involved into doing that, and the legislation and the auditing purposes and the standards that are behind that red tractor stamp.
To me and my local shoppers, we aren't the only ones that are clueless about food labels. As the inspection comes to an end, I catch up again with Sophie from Red Tractor, and I want to ask one last question about their scheme. This is the ticklish one, the one I imagine lots of you might be wondering.
We've all seen in the press horror stories where, even with Red Tractor certified farms, there are reports of them having terrible welfare standards. Yeah. How common is that, and how do you feel about that?
So it's really distressing when we see images from undercover exposés that show poor welfare and suffering of those birds. We take those very seriously. And where we can substantiate those claims, we do suspend members. One of the frustrating things is that a lot of the time the undercover footage is heavily edited and extremely subjective, about looking at maybe a handful of birds in a shed at night, and they also compromise the biosecurity of the farm and stress out the birds, so it's not particularly helpful. But I think one of the really frustrating things about exposés is that generally the compliance for Red Tractor poultry farmers is very, very high, and where we do have substantiated allegations where people aren't following those standards, it risks the reputation of an industry that's incredibly professional, incredibly hardworking, and I think that's a real shame.
So you're doing 2,500 inspections a year, roughly,
as a minimum.
As a minimum, and then some unannounced ones and so on. How many out of the 2,500 lose certification in a year?
Not that many. Some members will be withdrawn from the scheme. Our preference would be to suspend a member in order that they have the opportunity to improve their standards. And that's one of the really encouraging things we've found about our risk-based protocol, is that it has really driven up and improved compliance.
So how many members would you suspend in a year?
I genuinely don't know the answer to that,
okay,
sorry.
We can come
back to you with that.
Red Tractor did come back to us. Now, they have around 45,000 member farms, and this isn't just chickens. Across that portfolio, they suspend around 4,000 farms per year, and that could be for minor non-conformances that need fixing or for bigger things. And of those 4,000 that are suspended, about 400 members annually are withdrawn completely, so a little under 1%. To be honest, that was higher than I was expecting, and they were unable to give us poultry-specific figures because of data protection commitments to members. I understand that today's inspection was entirely for my benefit, and I wasn't expecting to see any problems. That doesn't take away from the fact it was an impressive setup. It was a roasting hot day, and the chicken sheds were a nice place to be. They were ambient, there was no smell, there were lots of contented-looking chickens in them. I'm fairly cynical about these things, but I am left feeling that Red Tractor is better than no Red Tractor. And it strikes me as well that it is in Red Tractor's interests to police things pretty tightly. When one farm is caught doing something bad, it decreases public faith in the whole lot. And the farms aren't exactly in competition like high street businesses. When everyone meets the standards, everyone benefits. And this takes me back to what food safety guru Chris Elliott said. When you're buying fresh chicken from the UK, you're generally able to find out what you're getting, provided you bother to check. But here's where things get murkier. So far, we've been talking about fresh, raw chicken, the stuff we buy to cook at home. But of course, that's not the only chicken we eat. Every year, we buy masses of processed products. In fact, in the USA and the UK, up to 60% of the average diet is ultra-processed food. We're talking pies, pizzas, sandwiches, curries, kebabs, nuggets, ready meals, tin soups, all those convenient foods that millions of us turn to every day. And most of the time, there's nothing on the pack or the box or the tin to say where that chicken's from or how it was produced.
It's interesting, just us as human beings, when you get more complex foods, we tend not to care so much about that. And it's not just chicken, it's every ingredient.
Back to Chris Elliott again.
So the likelihood is you'll see virtually no information about the source of the chicken in your chicken pie or other processed foods.
And by processed food, you mean, you know, a microwave ready meal, a sandwich, pieces of chicken that we might buy on the high street?
Yeah, absolutely. Where it's mixed with other ingredients, any form where it's not fresh, basically.
And where are the main places that the chicken in those processed products, pies and so on, where does it come from?
The really big chicken producers in the world, Chris, are Brazil, which is number one, Thailand, which is number two. Also, in European terms, Poland is a really big chicken producer as well, and we import a lot of different parts of chicken from Poland.
According to Chris, the major chicken-producing nations do so much lucrative international business, they're pretty reliable at keeping up with global standards. If bad practice is exposed on one farm, it's bad for everyone. But of course, lots of countries produce chicken. Places with smaller industries, with less scrutiny. If I was, say, a small takeaway looking to buy frozen nuggets or a sandwich maker wanting affordable shredded chicken in bulk, where would I get it?
So then it becomes really difficult to answer that question because generally in those low-value products, the companies that produce them will have sourced that chicken from wherever they can buy the cheapest possible chicken. And you know, they will not really ask for full traceability about that. Where did it come from? All of that information will be very, very opaque. And, you know, again, there's been cases where some of that imported chicken has been tested and has been found to have very high levels of antibiotics in it, for instance. And that is a clear sign that all of those standards, the European standards, the US standards, have not been met.
In my head as a consumer, I'm imagining there is some system of policing. Isn't it all checked at the border and there's some big old certificate with a rubber stamp on it?
I mean, there's no shortage of certificates and no shortage of rubber stamps. Always the question would be, how reliable is the information on that certificate and what check was actually undertaken before that rubber stamp was put onto it? We get tens of thousands of container loads of food coming into the UK every day. And I would love to tell you that it all gets checked and inspected, but it's probably less than 1%. Just because of the sheer complexity of it, because a lot of the people who were doing those inspections, there aren't the same number of people anymore. So it would be relatively straightforward to import food into the UK that has had no checks or inspections now.
So it could be from an intensive process that involved antibiotics, perhaps hormones, extremely low welfare and extremely low hygiene standards.
All of the above, yes.
So the cheapest, most convenient chicken products, sandwiches, pies, frozen meals, tinned soups, they don't have to tell us anything about the chicken we're eating. They might not meet our usual personal food standards. We might not know how it was produced, where it came from, perhaps even whether or not it's safe. And the interesting thing is, we simply don't ask. I know this because I visited some of the places that sell processed chicken in my neighbourhood. Shops, restaurants, cafes, takeaways.
So we're coming to all the different chicken shops. And we just wanted to know, do you know anything about where you get your chicken?
One of them comes in a big bag and in boxes. I have no idea, like, where they're actually producing it. Probably the manager's low, I don't know.
Do your customers ever ask where you get your chicken? Do they care?
I've only been asked about the shrimp, about the seafood.
Really?
I've never been asked about chicken.
What are you buying today?
Just a chicken burger in your box.
Do you ever think about where the chicken comes from?
I thought about it before, but not like, I'm not really intrigued by it. I just buy the food and eat it, really. It's food, isn't it?
Not a single member of staff ever had any customer ask about either chicken welfare or origins. And more than that, no one in any of the shops knew where their chicken came from, aside from the name of a supplier. What I can't figure out is why. Most of us do seem to care about what we eat to some extent, at least for some of the time. And yet, even when information is on the packet for us, we don't seem to pay much attention to it. And when it's not there, we're not asking why. I put this puzzle to Chris Elliott.
If food is expensive. As fresh food is becoming unbelievably expensive, we care much more about where it comes from, how it's being produced. And then, you know, as you go into frozen food, that's more about convenience food. It's more about lower cost food. So our values in what we buy change quite dramatically. And we are in the middle of this unbelievable cost of living crisis. And what is very clear is people's shopping trends, habits have changed quite markedly. Where, you know, a lot of us do say we care about the food that we eat, where it's produced, how it's produced. The cost has really pushed people into saying that's maybe something I'll have to come back to at some later stage when I can afford really to think about this.
This seems like a major problem to me, and one that goes way beyond traceability, because it says a lot about us and how we think about our food. When it comes to this fresh chicken that's clearly from an animal, we do put thought into what we're buying. But when it's that other, less visible type of chicken that's already been neatly processed into something else, there's that distance that I heard about right at the start of this series. It's not recognisably a bird. So we can disassociate ourselves. We turn a blind eye to our usual meat morals. And this is how we eat most chicken. These processed foods are the ones we turn to when we're hungry, broke, tired, or in a rush, when we don't have the energy to ask questions of the food or of ourselves. Ultimately, it seems like many of us are happy to turn a blind eye to our normal food standards when it makes our lives easier. Next time on Fed Planet Chicken. We might say we want to make better chicken choices, but when it comes to the most processed forms, we just can't get enough of them.
Junk food culture is so normalised. Yes, I know this about my food system. I know how I'm being exploited, but I'm still going to, you know, reach for a burger once in a while. Like, there's no way we can be independent from the exploitative food system that controls all of us.
He would appear in the dark.
He hunted at night, terrorizing his victims.
He was a killer.
He killed so many, he lost count.
The whole scale of it is just, it's mesmerizing.
But he's no longer behind bars. He's free. And now he's ready to talk.
I'm not that monster that the people say I am.
World of Secrets from the BBC World Service. Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.